We begin the current daf in Sefer daf Pei Zayin. We begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins discussing the Mishnah that was introduced on the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah said as follows: regarding a Bas Yisrael, a woman from a non-Kohanic family who cannot eat Trumo or doesn't have rights to Maaser, but then she gets married to a Kohen, so that halacha, as we had mentioned previously in the Masechta, that she could eat Trumo, she's Kinyan Kasbei. If her husband, the Kohen, dies but she has a son from him, she could still continue eating because of her son. Then let's say she gets married to a Levi, so now she's already married to a Zar, then she can eat Maaser because she's married to the Levi, but she cannot eat any more Trumo. If her husband, the Levi, dies and she has a son from him, so she could continue eating Maaser because of the son. If then after that she gets married to a Yisrael, then she cannot eat not Truma and not Maaser because of that new husband, the Yisrael, doesn't give her the rights in Maaser, and moreover, she's puzzled for Truma. Now, if that third husband dies and she has a son from him, so again, that's still considered connected to a non-Kohen, to a Yisrael, so she can't eat not Truma, not Maaser. But then the Mishnah said, if, let's say, her third husband's son, the Yisrael's son, dies, then she's no more connected to Yisrael. So that she goes, reverts one step backward. She's still connected to her second husband, the Levi, through that son, so she could eat Maaser. Then, and this is where the Gemara is going to be explaining this statement, it says, Mase b'na mi Levi, that if her second husband's son now dies, which is from the Levi, then teicha b'truma, then she could go ahead and eat truma. And that's because she still has her son from the Kohen. So there were three husbands with three sons. And then working backwards, if the third one had died, now his son died, and now the second one, which is the Levi, he died, and now his son died, now she could continue eating from Truma again, because although she's a Bas Yisrael, but now she's back connected through the son of her first husband, the Kohen. That's the only one she has a son from. And therefore, just like when you have a son from a Kohen, you could eat, and now she has no other connectivity, so therefore she could continue eating Truma now, she could revert back eating Truma. Now, that the Gemara asked the question, the Hadra Achla Mishum Bana, this concept that the Mishnah is seemingly saying, that she could revert back, we said you have a Bas Yisrael, who on her own merits cannot eat any Truma. When, however, if the third and the second husband's sons, the Yisrael and Levi, dies, now she only has the son from the Kayin, oh, that she was allowed to eat Truma from. Minolan, where do we know this, that a Zara, a non-Abbas Yisrael, a non-Kayin woman, could continue eating because of her son, even after she married a Zar, meaning in this case the Levi and the Yisrael, and then they died and their sons died, that she could go back and eating Truma. So Amar Baba Amar Rav, he says, we learn it from Bas Ubas. And that is, the Pasuk in Yikra of Beis says, Uvas Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, Kisi Alman Ugrusha, when she's going to be widowed or divorced. Then the Pasuk says, B'shavel B'savia, she could go back to her father's household. Now, from the fact that it could have said Bas, and instead it said Uvas, what's and the daughter, it's coming to include somebody else, that's coming to include a similar type of halacha, which is not a Bas Kohen. She's not going back to her father as she was when she was single. But a similar case where she was eating because of her husband, which was the son she had from her husband. Then she went and married someone else, a Zar, which is similar to the case by Abbas Kayan, who married Yisrael. If she gets totally removed from that husband because he died and she didn't have any children from him, and even if she had from him but they died, she can go back to her father. Here also, she can go back to her original husband's son who was feeding her Truma, even though she went and married a Zar in the meantime. But now that they all died out, she can go back to that. That's included from the Uvas and the daughter. That's what the Gemara asks. Come on, who would our Mishnah be going like? Rabbi Akiva, Darsh Vav. It seems he's going like Rabbi Akiva, who he expounds extra Vavs, the and, as the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, that this is what Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, Bas Uvas ani Darsh. From the extra Vav, I can expound certain things. So the Gemara says, no, Afilo Tamer Rabban, you could say that our Mishnah, which is saying that this halacha of returning is not just for a Bas Kohen to her father's household, but even to an Aish's Kohen, returning to her original husband's household, it's going like Rabban, because Kula Uvas, Kro Yaseiru, we're not learning it from the extra Vav, rather the whole word Uvas Kohen seems superfluous, because the Pasuk before that already said who the context of the Pasuk is. It said Uvas Kohen Kesil Zar. It was going on this whole parasha, talking about a single girl that was able to eat by her father's household. So it says, Kisi Lirzar, she's going to marry a non-Kohen, so then she has to stop eating Truma. And then it says, but Uvas Kohen, Kisi Almana, when she gets widowed from the non-Kohen. Now it could have just said, V'chisi Almana Grusha, that when she becomes widowed or divorced, because we already know we're talking about Uvas Kohen, as the Pasuk previously had said, and therefore the whole word Uvas Kohen is extra to tell us that it's referring to someone else that has a similar halacha, which is not necessarily the daughter of a kohen, but rather the wife of a kohen, that he had died and she had moved on, and the son that she had from him, which was allowing her to eat truma, but then she married a Levi and Yisrael, which doesn't allow her, but she could ultimately revert back when those kids die. Now the Gemara continues, Tan Rabban. Now this is going back on the pasuk that we just quoted of Uvas Kayin Kisi Amona Grusha. So when she gets widowed and divorced, so the pasuk tells her, Bezera Einlam, she doesn't have any children from this Yisrael husband, so then she can go back to her father's household and eat truma. So that the Brisa says, but Kishicha Yzeres, although the pasuk allows her when she's going back to her father's household, Chayzeres L'truma, she goes back to continue eating truma, but Ve'ein Chayzeres L'chazav Hashek, she could not go back to consume the chazav Hashek, the breast and the thigh, which are taken off certain karbanas that the kohen gets, that she could not go back and continue eating as she did before she got married to the non-kohen. However, as Rashi points out, the Gemara later will explain that that's not the case when she reverts back because of her son. There actually, when she returns to her first husband, like in this case, a bar mishnah, to the kohen because of the son, she actually returns not just to truma, but even returns to consuming the chazav hashek. So now the Gemara brings Amar Chizda Amar Avina Bar Shila, Mikra. What's the pasuk, the source for this, that the Brisa says that although the pasuk seems to be indicating clearly that she goes back to her father's household, which would seem to say that she can continue as everything was pre the marriage, which was not only truma but chazav hashek, how do we know that's not true, that that's only for truma but not for chazav hashek? So the Gemara brings five interpretations for this source. First one being from Rav Chizda, that he says the pasuk of Vayikra tells us, it says in Vayikra Chav Beis Pasuk Yud Beis, it says Uvas Kohen Kisi Le'Izhar, that this context that we're talking about, that when the daughter of a Kohen will be married to a non-Kohen man, so it says he, this woman, Besrumas HaKadoshim Lo'Yisoichel, although up until now she was able to eat everything from her father the Kohen, now she cannot eat anymore from the elevated parts of the sanctified foods. Now, what does this term Betrumas HaKadoshim mean? So that is what Ravina Bar Shila tells us. It's Bemura Min HaKadoshim Lo'Yisoichel. She's not allowed to eat from what was elevated from the Karbanos, which is a reference to the Chazav HaShek, where there's Kachim. Then there's something which is the Trumas HaKadoshim, which is taken off, which is given to the Kohen, that she cannot continue eating. Now Rashi elaborates on this source. The fact that the Pasuk could have just said, he bekadoshim loyseichel, that would have been a simpler way of saying that she cannot continue eating kadoshim, but rather it says betrumas, which is coming to tell us from Aloshon Havaharama, which is separated, that she cannot eat forever. Now Rashi forewarns a question. It's seemingly talking about this pasuk when she's married to the husband, the Yisrael, as it sounds like Uvas Kohen Kisi Lezar, when she's married to the Zar, and therefore it would sound like that, yes, she cannot eat from Kachim, or even the Chazav HaShek she can't eat. She can't have anything, even Truma, when she's married to her husband, the Zar. How is Rav Chizda proving from this pasuk that even when she goes back home, when she's not anymore Si Lezar, that she cannot eat the Chazav HaShek, which is the Hurim and HaKadoshim? So Rashi points out that no, that obviously this pasuk is not talking about, as literally it sounds like, that's talking when she's married to the Tzar. Because as the Gemara says in Daf Samaches Amud Aleph, actually how we interpret this pasuk is talking about when she has bia with someone that's pasul tar. For example, with a nasin or mamzer or a chalul, where that bia that she has with them invalidates her eternally. So this halacha, whatever it's talking in this pasuk, is an eternal psul. Now the reason is because a kohenis that marries a Tzar, this that she cannot eat all these things like truma and like what this pasuk seems to be saying of truma sakachim, that's not learned out from this pasuk. That's actually learned out from a different pasuk where it says vishavel beisavia, that when she leaves that husband, the Yisrael, either through divorce or through being widowed, that she returns back to her father's household. Now what that inference already tells us is that however before when she was married to the Yisrael, that she didn't eat. And therefore, obviously this pasuk is not talking about the source for that she can't eat Kadshim or Trumas Min HaKadoshim or Truma when she's married to the Tzar, because that we know from a different pasuk. Rather, as the Gemara that says in Daf Samaches, it's a reference to other psulim, where, as it says over there, if she has Bia Psula with someone that's Pasul Tar. But again, either way, that's something that's an eternal psul, and therefore this halacha of Mur Min HaKadoshim is something that she'll be eternally Pasul for. Now, Rav Chizda is learning this out from the word Trumas, and that is because if the pasuk would be, as so we seem to be saying, that it's Toma when she has a Bia Pesula, and therefore, so then what does that have to do with when she marries a Tzar, which is not a Bia Pesula? But then the Torah should have written, "Bekadoshim lo toichel." She becomes pasul and kadoshim forever. Why does he use the term "betrumas hakadoshim"? That is what the Gemara learns a second halacha. Obviously, it's saying that there is another woman, however, that does eat kadoshim. For example, truma, which is considered kadoshim, but it's only betrumas hakadoshim that she doesn't eat. What is that? She doesn't eat b'moyer min hakadoshim. That's a reference to the chaz of a sheik, and that's in the context of the halacha that we're saying over here. That when she goes back to her father's household, which is the Vaskoin Kisi Almona, as the Pasuk says near that Pasuk, the Pasuk afterwards says the Vaskoin Kisi Almona, so it's comparing that Pasuk to the Pasuk before it, which is saying that, and this is how the Gemara elaborates on this on Daf Samaches, that there's two different halachas being learned from this Pasuk, not like the literal understanding of when she's married to a Zar, because that we know from a different Pasuk. Rather, it's as we said, for a different Jerusha, it tells us that Abiya Pesula. But from that, we only would know regarding if it's a chal or a nasa mamzer. Here, when she's married to Yisrael, there's no bia psula. But what we learn from there is that whatever it is that's invalidating her, it's invalidating her forever. Now, so how do we see this halacha of chaz v'shaik, of mor min hakadoshim? Because it could have said, if it was referencing just a bia psula, it could have said, he bekadoshim lo toichel. What betrumas hakadoshim? It's a reference to the pasuk afterwards, which talks about a woman that gets widowed and goes back to her father's household, although she goes back for truma, but she does not go back for trumas hakadoshim. What's more min hakadoshim? That's the chaz v'shek, which is given off, taken for the kahanim. That's something that this woman cannot eat, even when she goes back to her father's household. That was the first interpretation of the Gemara. Second interpretation the Gemara brings, Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Avua. He says, it says in the Pasuk, when it says, B'shava al beis avir, so she'll go back to her father's household after she's divorced or widowed from her husband Yisrael. It says, Milechem avia teichel, from the bread of her father's house, she could resume eating. Now, Milechem, from, means v'loy kolechem, not all the bread. And that is prat l'chaz v'shaik. That's excluding what is she not reverting back to for the chaz v'shaik. Now, as Rashi explains that the term lachem doesn't literally mean bread, it means all types of food, as he brings the pasuk in Daniel, where we see that avad lachem rav meant he made a large meal, and therefore the word lachem would sound like it's including everything. And that's why we need mi lachem from to exclude, what are we excluding? Chaz v'shaik, which has the highest level of sanctity, that she doesn't go back to continue eating. Now, in that interpretation, the Gemara has maskvila rami bar chama. Says Ema Prat Lafaras Nadarm, this that we're excluding her from necessarily eating everything in their father's household. Maybe all it's telling us is that her father, now when she goes back after she was widowed, she was already married once, but no kids and no husband, she goes back to her father's household. Maybe it's telling us that the father doesn't have the rights anymore to nullify her vows. And therefore, maybe who said that she just like she goes back for Truma, so she goes back as she was originally, and therefore to say that she goes back for Nadarm too, who said? Maybe that what we're learning out is that saying that only some of the bread she eats what her father serves up, not everything, and that is she can take a vow to say, I don't want to eat this, and the father cannot nullify that. Maybe that's what's being excluded and not necessarily for chaz v'shaik. So Amar Rava says, no, kfar paska tanda b'Rabbi Shmuel, this was already verified and explained by the Bryce of Rabbi Shmuel from a different source. The tanda b'Rabbi Shmuel says, the pasuk of Midbar says, v'neder almana ugrusha yakum alahu. That although the Pasuk talks about that when she's in her father's household or by her husband, there are others that have authority over the woman. But when she's a widow or a divorcee, then her vow will take stand and she has to fulfill it. Now, the Gemara asks, Matam Aleima, what exactly is the Pasuk teaching us? V'halei mutzi mechalav. Of course, we're talking about that she's not under her father's domain anymore because she already got married. U'mutzi mechalabal. And she's also removed from her husband's domain because he was removed from her. So therefore, what's the chiddush? Who's going to go ahead and be made for her neder? Ella, rather, so the Brisa says, Haresha Masra Avla Shlicha Baal. If you have a case where the father was giving over this daughter of his to the messengers of the husband, taking her back to the husband's house, or similar, Oisha Masra Shlucha Avla Shlicha Baal, or the messengers of the father, who are an extension of the father, but they already gave it over to the messengers of the husband. And then, in this unique case, if on the road, when she's with the messengers of the husband gets widowed, meaning the husband dies and she's widowed, or the husband divorced her when she was already on the road, now how would I evaluate the woman in this state? Is she considered, so then, still part of her father's household, since she never totally left his domain? Because she never even got to her husband's house and she was already widowed or divorced, and therefore the father could still be made for her nether? Or do we say that no, she's considered the husband's domain, and therefore, because since the husband's messengers already took her, and it was already taken away from the father or the father's messengers, so now she remains a widow, and therefore the father cannot be mefer. Obviously the husband cannot because he divorced her or he's dead. So Ella, rather, that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you, that yes, that since she left her father's domain even for one moment, meaning that she just sent her to the husband's messengers, he can't go ahead and nullify her vows anymore. Because that's what the pasuk is telling you. Because if it's talking about a full-fledged, bona fide amana grusha, of course. How could the father have domain? She was already married, and it was already in her husband's domain, and he can't because he already divorced her and widowed. Must be talking about even in such a case where she never even got to her husband's house. Still, once it left the father's domain, even for a moment, he doesn't have any more authority over her. And therefore, the Gemara says that it can't be that what we learned from Melech Maviyah Teichel is telling us not Prat L'chaz of a Sheikh, but rather Prat L'chaz of a Rau, because as we learned that already from the Reis of Rishmal, from a different source, that the father cannot be made for the neder of his daughter once she got married, even before she got married, even if he just already sent her to the husband's messengers. Nothing more resumes the discussion and brings a third source for this halacha, that she doesn't revert back to her father's household for Chaz of a Sheikh, only for Truma. Rav Safra Amma, he says, the pasuk says, Milechem Aviha Teichel, from the bread of her father she eats, which he learns literally, Lechem, Lechem Lebasar, bread and not meat, meaning Truma, which comes from the grain, but not meat, which comes from the karbanos, which is Chaz of a Sheikh. A fourth source, the Gemara brings Rav Papa Amma, he says, Melechem Aviha Teichel, from the bread of her father she eats. What does that mean? Lechem HaKonei Lo Aviha. It's only bread which is acquired by her father. And that is because Truma is an acquisition of the Kahanim. It's fully fledged, their own money. It's not something remnant from something else. That Prat L'Chaz of a Sheikh. But that excludes the Chaz of a Sheikh, which are remnants of the Kachim, to Meshulchan Gavayu Kazachu. It's like a gift they get from Hashem, which is the remnants of, so to speak, Hashem's table, the Mizbeach. So it's not something that their own rights that they have. It's just Hashem is giving them, so to speak, the leftovers. And therefore, that wouldn't be considered Melechem Aviha. It would be from Melechem Hashem. And therefore, that's where we see there's only reference to Truma and not a reference to the Chaz of a Sheikh. And the fifth source the Gemara brings, Rav Amar, he says, Pasuk of Vayikra says, Veschazeh HaTinufa, this is the Pasuk that talks about the Chaz of a Sheikh that the Kahanim get, says that the breast which is elevated, Veshoik HaTruma, and the thigh which is separated, Techelu, they should eat the Kahanim. Atu Uvanecha, you and your sons, Uvanecha Itach, and your daughters with you. What does that mean? Bizman She'itach. Bizman Itach, it's when they're with you. I mean, the second they get married, then they lose their right, and therefore they never come back to that, only come back to Truma, and not for Chaz of a Sheikh. Now, however, as we alluded to, that there's a difference. Amr of Adbar Ava, he says, Tanulin Abraisa, that however, that as we said just before, regarding a Bas Koyin, so then as we just brought five different sources, Kishi Chazeres Lebe Savi, when she goes back to her father's household, so Chazeres Le Truma, she goes back for Truma, but Ve'en Chazeres Le Chaz of a Sheikh, but she doesn't go back for the thigh and the breast. However, as we made this the discrepancy before, but a Bas Yisrael, a non-Kohen daughter, who's going back to eat Truma Bishvil Bina because of her son that she gave birth to from a Kohen, which in the interim she had married a Yisrael, but then the Yisrael died and she didn't have kids from him, she goes back to her first husband, the Kohen, and she could continue eating because of her son. There, the Braisa says, Chazeres Af Lo Chaz of a Sheikh, she goes back not only for Truma, but even for Chaz of a Sheikh, as the Gemara will explain, the reason is because Abbas Kain has these five miyutim that we learned, that she doesn't go back for that, which we don't have by the case of Abbas Yisrael going back to her first husband's son. Now, Azra of Mardukha, so Mardukha went, and Amr L'Shamayit Tekameh Ravashi, he went and said over this bride's under Ravashi, and Amr of Mardukha asked, he says, I don't understand. Meheicha kom es Rabbi, where did we even include, what's the whole source of this halacha of the Ben Kayan that this woman, the Bas Yisrael, has, who, although she had married someone else in the interim and had sons even, but if they died, she can be Chizeres, not La Beis Aviyah, but La Beis Balom. That we learned, the whole source is Me'ubas, from the Pasig of Bas Kayan. Now, therefore, Mi'adifalah, Mi'no, could it be better than Bas Kayan? If Bas Kayan herself doesn't go back for Chaz of a Sheikh only for Truma, so how could an Ashes Kayan go back to her son from the Kayin, go back even more than the source itself, not just for Truma, but even Chaz of a Sheikh? The Gemara says that he answered him, he says, no. Hasam k'sivim miyuti. There, as we brought these five different sources, there are exclusions in the pasuk explicitly excluding her from chaz v'shalik. Here there's no exclusion, and therefore the actual halacha tells us she goes back totally. There are these exclusions, so she doesn't have chazav v'shalik. Here, where there's no exclusions, she's even better than the source of a bas koyin. Now the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that a bas koyin shenisses li Yisrael, so a daughter of a koyin, although when she was single she was able to eat in her father's household all the truma and all the kachem, when she gets married to a Yisrael, then she cannot eat. And then, even more than that, was that even if he dies, but if she has a son from him, so she's still connected to him, and she cannot go ahead and revert back to eating truma. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings Tarbon, and then the Braisa. Says in the Pasuk, Vishava el Beisavia, says that she goes back to her father's household if her husband dies. Now, Prat l'shemeres yavam, that excludes a woman, although she doesn't have, her husband died, doesn't have any kids, which generally that the Pasuk says she goes back to her father's household, it's excluding a woman that's anticipating Yibum, because the reason is she's not Veshava Beisavia. She doesn't go back to her father's house because she's still bound to the Yavam with the Zika that he has the rights to go ahead and do Yibum to her. So she's not going back to her father's household yet. She cannot yet revert back eating Truma. Moreover, the Pasuk says Kinu Reha, that she goes back to eating her father's household like she did in her youth when she was single. Now, what that sounds like is that she has to be not pregnant the way she was in her youth before she was married. And therefore, that's pratum ubaris. That excludes a woman that's pregnant, because she's not exactly how she was when she was single, and therefore she cannot go back to her father's household to eat truma. Now, the Brayis asked the following question. But v'haloi dinhu, it seems to be a kavo chaymer. In other words, why would I need a pasuk to exclude a woman that's pregnant, that she cannot go back to eating truma from her father's household? And the Gemara brings the following logic, which the Gemara on Amud Beis brings many of these types of a question. The Brayis says as follows. If there's a certain instance, which we're going to bring a kavachemer from, where we don't make a child from the first husband like a child of the second husband. In other words, if a woman gets married to a certain person, and she gives birth to him, and that husband dies, so she doesn't have a husband, she goes and marries a different man. Now that man dies without any children. So we don't say that the first child she has from the first husband is like a child from the second husband, lepoitra min hayibum, to make her exempt from yibum, and that is, she actually needs yibum from the second husband, and she's not exempt because she has a child from a different husband from the first husband. We don't say that. We say that since the second husband doesn't have any children, she has to do yibum with his brother. And yet, in spite of that, asa uber kiyalud, regarding yibum, we said that the uber, the fetus, is like a born child. And that is, if let's say she was pregnant when her husband died without any children, she's exempt. As the Pasuk says in Devarim Chafei, it says, Ben Einla, and she doesn't have any children, so there the Gemara Darshan's Ayin Alav. You have to analyze and say, is it totally no child? Oh, she's pregnant, there's a fetus, that's not totally no child, and therefore she will be exempt from Yibum. Now, if that's the case, so make the following Kavachemer. So, Malkim Shasav Lad Min Narishin Kavlad Min Hasheni, so in the place, in the Halacha, where we did make a child from the first husband as a child from the second husband. In other words, when you have a bas koyin that's married to Yisrael, she gives birth to him, and then he dies, that husband to Yisrael. Then she gets married to another husband, and he also dies without any children. There we consider the child from the first husband as a child from the second husband, in other words, l'pois l'minat truma, to invalidate her from truma. In other words, what we mean to say is that she's still usher in truma because of the child she has from the first husband, because the pasuk tells us that how could she go back to her father's household, the kohen, only if a zera ain lo, only if she doesn't have any children, and she still has children. So essentially, it's like as if the first husband's child is still here, even though she already moved on to a second husband. And so therefore, it's as if the first husband's child is by the second husband. And if so, in the din shenasa uber kiyalud, so isn't it a kavo chaymer that we should make a fetus like a born child? And therefore, just like a born child, says your apostle from Truma, a fetus should also. And that's the kavo chaymer from Yibum, because of Yibum, we don't say that a child from the first husband is like a child from the second husband. Almost like she didn't have that first child, because to say that she doesn't have any children from her second husband, she has to do Yibum. And yet, even that we don't say that extension, we still say uber is like a yalud, and that is, there is no Yibum. So by Truma, where we say that a first husband's child is like as if there is a husband, there is a child from the second husband. In other words, that she cannot go back to her father's household to eat Truma. We still say there's that connectivity. It's still not Vizera Einla. So all the more so should we say, where Uber Kiyalad, where Bayibim, we say that even when we don't say Vlad Arishan Kavalad Hasheni. And so therefore here also we should say Uber Kiyalad. And if we're saying Uber Kiyalad based on Davakavochimer, so what do you need to have a pasuk to tell you this halacha for, of to say that it's Kenureha? Of course, if the Uber is like a Yalad, so then she has Zara. And therefore if she has Zara from Yisrael, of course she cannot go back to her father's household. Then the Gemara says Loi. No, it's actually not a Kavochimer. Because you can't learn a Kavochemer from Yibum, because Yibum has other elements that could say that maybe you'll say this, even though it doesn't have Vlad Rishon Kavlad Hasheni, and that is, Mali Asar Uber Kiyalad Le'in Yibum. How can you compare the fact that we make a fetus like a born child regarding the halachas of Yibum that will exempt her? Shari Asa Mesim Kechayim, because regarding Yibum, we make a dead child like a live child. In other words, if let's say her husband died, and she had a child, which exempts her from Yibum, then post her husband's death, her child dies, her son dies, we view the dead child as if he's alive. In other words, she doesn't go back to say, oh, your husband died, and you don't need children now, even though he died a month later, but you have to go back and do Yibum. We don't say that, as the Gemara will conclude on Amud Beis, based on the Pasuk of Derecher Darchei Noyim. So we make essentially like a dead child, like a live child. Now, however, who can say that Nasa Uber Kiyalil and Truma? Who said that you would say the same halacha of a Uber like a Yalad regarding Truma? Shalei Asa Mesim Gechaim. We don't make a dead child like a live child. In other words, we find the halacha by a Bas Kohen that gets married to Yisrael. Then her husband, the Yisrael, dies. And even if only post the husband dies, the child dies, she does go back to her father's household to eat Truma, where, again, the Gemara later on will explain from Sukkim how we know that. But essentially what that means is that we don't make him that he's meis kechai. We say, no, if he's dead, he's dead. And therefore, she has no more children, even if he died after her husband's death. And she could go back to her father's household. So therefore, who said you could learn that Truma from Yibum? Because although Truma has one stringency of Vlad Rishon Kavlad Hasheni, but it's not a clear-cut Kavochemer, because there is a different stringency that Yibum has that Truma doesn't have in the sense of making meisim kechayim. So therefore, Tamalem Kinerah, that's what we need to have. The Brisa brings a pasuk of Kinerah to tell us that she has to be exactly how she was in her youth, which is Pratlam Uberes, excluded if she's pregnant, which is not the case how she was when she was single. Now, the Gemara says that V'itzuch Lemichtav, we had to write Kinereha to exclude Muberes, to exclude that, which excluding a pregnant woman. V'itzuch Lemichtav V'zera Einla, we also had to write that V'zera Einla, that she doesn't have any children, to exclude if she has a child, that she can't go back to her father's household. And the reason is as follows. Dikas Rahman Bazarala Inla, had we only had the pasuk of saying that if she doesn't have any children, she can go back to her father's household and eat truma. Because in the Karachat Gufa, originally she was one body. Now she's two bodies. So she's that's very different than how she was. And therefore she can't go back. Of Mubaris, but we would say that maybe if she's just pregnant, where when she left, she was just one body. Now she's also still one body, although an extended one. Therefore, I would say that she could go back and eat truma. Therefore, you need to have that even there, you're excluded. And because Rahman Muberes, if we had only written that Kinereha to exclude Muberes, I would say that Dimikar Gufa, because originally she was, as we continue on Talmud Beis, a Gufa Sreka. Originally she was in an empty body. Now she's a full body, so she changed. Therefore, she can't go back. Avazera ain't law. But however, she regarding the halacha of if she doesn't have any children, Timikura gufas reka vahashta gufas reka, where before she was an empty body, and now she's also an empty body. Albeit that she has children, but she's the same as she was before. Emaloi, I would say that maybe there she actually could go back to Yitruma. Tzricha, that's why we also have the pasuk of Azera Einlo to tell us that whether she has children or whether she's pregnant, both of those are psulim for her to go back and eat truma by her father's household. Now, the Gemara brings Siman the following mnemonic, which is related to this types of Kavochema, which will bring us to the sources of both of these halachas. Amar Leh, he said to him, Loi Nasa, we should not make, and the Girsa is Venasa, that we should make, Bemisa, regarding death. Then the next two halachas are Nasa, V'loi Nasa, Bevlad, that we should make, and we shouldn't make regarding a child, which both these halachas are regarding Yibum Betruma. Yibum Betruma Siman, that's the mnemonic to remember, which is basically that the Gemara is going to attempt an equation between Yibum and Bas Kohen, where both of them have halachas regarding having a child. Where if you have a child by Bas Kohen, she can't go back to her father's household. And if you have a child regarding Yibum, you also are exempt from the halacha of Yibum. So the Gemara brings the following discussion. Amar Rehuda midiskarta l'Rava. He said, and this is the first one of Loi Nasa, which is regarding Misa, Leinasim Mesim Kechaim Le'inyibum. We should not equate a dead child like a live child regarding Yibum. And that is, we should say that even if the child died after the husband's death, she should have to go back and return to the Zika that she had, even if her child dies much later after her husband had died. Mikavochemer from the following Kavochemer. Because if we said that a child from a first husband will consider on some level as if it's a child from the second husband, as we say by truma, yeah, that is, if let's say your Bas Kohen, who when your husband dies without any children, you can go back to your father's household. But if he's just your second husband, but the first husband had a child, we consider as if it's the second husband that's having the child. In other words, in the sense of that, you can't go back to your father's household. And yet, in spite of that, still regarding Truma, we didn't make a dead child like a live child, and that is when the child dies, even after the husband's death, you can go back to your father's household. So if so, so regarding the loss of Yibum, where we didn't say the child from the first husband is like a child from the second husband, and that is if the second husband dies without any children, even though she has from the first husband, she has to have Yibum. So isn't it kavuchayim that we should make that, that we should not make Mesim Kechaim and that she should be liable in the mitzvah of Yibum? Because if Truma, which you have Rishon L'Sheni, and you don't say Mesim Kechaim, so here where you don't have Rishon L'Sheni, for sure you shouldn't say Mesim Kechaim. I think when it says Tamalayma, he answered him that that's what the Pasuk teaches in Mishlei. It says, Derecheha Darchei Naim, the roads of Torah are sweet. V'chon Nisib HaSesham, and all its paths are peace. And that is, this woman that had a child when her husband died, and therefore there was no Zika of Yibum. So then she gets married, and then a few years later her son dies. Now if you're going to say that, oh, that means your husband doesn't have a son, and she has to go ahead and do chalitza, so it's going to be disgusting for her husband. What's this? Your old relationship, you have to go back and do chalitza. And therefore, as he's interpreting from the pasuk of Derecheha Darchei Naim, obviously you have to say that when the pasuk says Ven Ein Loi, it must be referencing just at the time of death. And if at the time of death you have a child, even if you have a child, even if the child dies at a later point in time, we will not require the chalitza to be done at a later point in time. And therefore you see from the pasuk that we will say Mesim Kechayim by Yibim, although from the Kavuchayim it would seem that we should say that we should not make Mesim Kechayim. Now he moves into the second question, which was the Venasa B'Misa. Venasa Mesim Kechayim Le'in Truma. We should make, now we're going the other way around, we should make, regarding the halachas of Truma, that a dead child is like a live child. In other words, that even if the child dies afterwards, she should not be able to go back to her father's household. And we'll consider him as if he's still alive, because since he died after the husband's death, and therefore she should be possible to go back to the father's household. The Kavuchemer from the following Kavuchemer. Because if regarding the context of Yibum, we don't say that the first child is like the second child, and yet still, we still make a dead child like a live child, as we just brought from the Pasuk of Derecheha Darchei Naim, to exempt from Yibum. So, if so, where we're more stringent, we make that the second child, that the child of the first husband, will be like the child of the second husband. That we should make that the dead child, I mean, in other words, if we're more stringent in Truma, that we make even the first husband's child like the second husband's child, so for sure we should say the stringency by the more kal halach of Yibum, which we stay over the Mesim Kechaim, all the more so by Truma that's Chamer, which that's what a Kavuchemer means, we should also say the stringency of Mesim Kechaim, that she should be possible from going back to her father's household. And that the Gemara brings, Tamalayim, he answered, the passing of Yirka says, Vezera Ein Lo, that she can go back to her father's household if she doesn't have children. Vaha Ein Lo, and she doesn't have children. And therefore she's permitted to go back in Truma, although the Kavuchemer would seem to be saying she cannot. But the Pasuk is saying clearly, if she doesn't have any children, she can go back to her father's household. Now he asked him the third question, which was this of Venasa Bavlad. Venasa Vlad bin Harishan, Kivlad bin Hasheni L'in Yibum. We should make, which was the other variable, we should make regarding the Lachs of Yibum, that the first husband's child should be as if she has a child from the second husband who died without any children, Mekavachimer. Because if regarding the Lachs of Truma, as we just brought from the Pasuk that says Vizer Ein Lo, that we don't go ahead and make a dead child like a live child, and therefore, even if he dies afterwards, she could go back to her father's household, which is a leniency for Truma, and yet still there's a stringency of saying Asav Vlad Menarishin Vlad Menar Sheini that will invalidate it from Truma. So if so, Makom she'asa meisim gichaim le'nibim. So if yibim, which is more stringent, that we make the dead child like a live child, and that is she's exempt from yibim, in a din shenasav la'min harishin gevla'min hasheni, in the kabbal chaim that you should say that stringency that truma has, which is more lenient, and say that the child from the first husband is like a child of the second husband, and that she should be exempt from yibim. Tamalayim, that's what he answered him. The pasuk in the Devarim says, uven ein loy, that her husband doesn't have any sons. Vaha ein loy, and he doesn't. So although she has a son from the first husband, which should be a kavo chaimer, but still, the pasuk is saying clearly, if he, the second husband, doesn't have any sons, she's mechuyev in yibim. Now for the fourth question, which was in the manik of v'loy nasa bavlad, which is, again, these are the discussion of yibim and truma. So he asked him, v'loy nasa vlad min arishin kevlad min hashen l'truma. So we're going the other way around. We should not say that a child from the first husband should be like a child from the second husband regarding truma, mekavachemen from the fallen kavachemen. And that is, we should say that although she had a child, but the second husband, when he dies, she doesn't have any children, so then you're b'shavel b'sevia. Because ma'ba mogum shas meisim kichayim, if regarding the stringent halacha that we find l'poichim in a yibum, we make the dead child like a live child, which is a stringency, yet, we don't make the child of the first husband like the child of the second husband, as we just brought from the pasuk of Uven Ein Loi. So, Mokim Shalasa Mesim Gechaim Lein Truma, so regarding Truma, which we don't make the Mesim Gechaim regarding Truma, so in the Din Shalay Nasav Laban Arishin Gvalaman Hashem, so all the more so that we're here, we don't even make Mesim Gechaim, so it doesn't even have those stringencies, so it's a more of a lenient halacha. All the more so, should have the leniency that we find by the stringent halacha of Yibim, that we don't make the Vlad Arishin like the Vlad Hasheni. That's what he answered. In the fourth pasuk, it says that Vizera ain la. She doesn't have any children, but Vaha Yeshla, but she has a child. Although it's not from her second husband, it's from her first husband. So although there's a Kavachim, the pasuk is explicitly telling you in all these four arenas what the halacha is, and therefore here, where she has a child from the first husband, she will not be able to go back Vishava Beisabia. We shall return to the 9th Perek Masechta Zivamis, Perek Yesh Mataris, and with that we begin the 10th Perek Masechta Zivamis, commonly called as Ha'isha Rabba. And the reason for that is because there's many parakim called Ha'isha, and this is the largest one of the parakim. So it's called Ha'isha Rabba, the great woman. Now this Mishnah continues on the theme of the previous Perek, talking about when her husband dies. Now the Mishnah begins, Ha'isha Shehalach Baila Bendin Sayam, a woman that her husband went overseas. And they came and they told her, now as the Gemara will infer from the Sefer, that when it says they came and told her, it's a reference to an Eid Echad, a single witness came and told her, Meis Balecha, your husband died. Now if her husband died, so she's widowed, she can go ahead and marry someone else. So Benissus, she marries someone else. But ultimately what happens is her husband comes, he's not dead. Halacha is Teitzi Mezeh Mezeh. She has to leave both her first husband that she was married to, and the new husband that she married because she thought her husband was dead, which Rashi explains, it's like a regular Ashes Ish, that's Mizana, where she was married really halachically to the first husband. And now essentially the marriage she has with the second husband was a Maisa's Nus, which was a relationship out of wedlock. The halach is that she's Asa Labal, and she's Asa Labal, she's forbidden to both men. Now, as Rashi explains that, although it would seemingly be an Oinus, as the Gemara will explain, this is not an Oinus, because it was just with one aid, and that is because although the Rabbanan gave some type of an amanus, trustworthiness to one witness regarding a woman that she could remarry because of what's called iguna. We don't want a woman to be bound and tied down and left that she can't marry anyone because we don't know what happened to her husband. So we allow, in this case, even one witness. But that's only based on the criteria because she herself will go ahead and investigate to make sure that it's true and clear that her husband actually did die. And then she'll go ahead and get married. But here, obviously, she did not investigate well enough, because obviously here he is coming alive and well, so therefore we penalize her, and we consider her as an Ashes Ish that was Mizan, and therefore she is Asa Labal and Asa Labal, and she has to leave both men. Moreover, Vitzrichi Get Mizeh Mizeh, if she wants to marry someone else, she's going to require a get from the first husband and from the second husband. Now, the Gemara will actually explain why she needs a get from the second husband, if essentially she was really never married to him, although they went through the whole process, a chuppah, whatever it is, it really was irrelevant, because she was always married to the first husband, he had never died. Moreover, the in-law ksuba, she doesn't get her ksuba, her dowry, v'loy peiris, she doesn't get to be able to collect back from her first husband, from the men that she had married, which they had eaten the fruits, the produce of her nichsi malug. v'lo mezaynis, and even if, let's say, when her husband had gone overseas, she had borrowed money to support herself, she can't go ahead and collect that from him to pay it up. V'lo b'lois, even if she has worn out garments she had brought into the marriage, she can't take that back home with her. Lo alzeh v'lo alzeh, she doesn't get neither one of these things from her first husband or from the second husband. V'im not l'mizeh mezen, if she did take any of these elements, k'subo or mezaynis, from either one of the husbands, so tach, she has to return it to them. Moreover, v'avlad mamzer mizeh mezen, the child that she has from either one of these men is considered a mamzer. In other words, if she ever had any child from the second one, which was essentially a ma'aseh nus, that's a full-fledged mamzer, because that's an eishes ish. Now, what do we mean from the first husband? That is, if after he comes back, he goes, no, she's my wife, he takes her back, and she has children from him after that she had already had a ma'aseh nus with the second man, that will be what's considered a rabbinic mamzer, because she's forbidden to go ahead and stay married to him. Now, moreover, v'leizeh v'zeh metamela, neither one of these men, let's say they're kahanim, could be metama to the woman when she dies. V'leizeh v'zeh zakam, and neither one of these men have rights, lebe metziyasa, which a regular husband does have rights, but in this case, they don't have rights not in a lost object that she finds. V'lebe ma'asidao, let's say she works, they don't have rights in that. V'lebe afaras nadereho, or neither to nullify her vow. Now, the Mishnah continues and tells us, if chaysa bas Yisrael, if let's say she was a bas Yisrael, now that she had this incident where she had relations with another man, interim, and she has to divorce from both of them, so she's now invalid, she can never go ahead and marry a kohen. And the reason is because she's considered halachically a zayna. Uvaslevi, let's say she was a vaslevi, then she's penalized mina meiser. We say that she cannot go back to her father's household and continue eating meiser. Uvas kohen, and then she was daughter of a kohen, mina truma. Then we also penalize her, even on a rabbinic level, from continuing to eat truma. Now, the Mishnah says, "V'in yershin shel zeh v'yershin shel zeh yershin es kesubasa." Neither one of these husbands' inheritors go ahead and inherit her kesuba, which the Gemara will explain and ask what type of kesuba we're talking about over here, because we said there is no kesuba. So what is it, yershin shel zeh and yershin shel zeh, that they won't inherit her kesuba? Now, v'meisu, if these men, both the first husband and the second husband, die, so achiv shel zeh v'achiv shel zeh chotzim lemiyamin. So the brothers of the first husband and the brothers of the second husband have to do chalitza to her and not yibum. That is, the brothers of the first husband biblically have to do chalitza. It's only rabbinically that we say that they shouldn't do yibum, because even biblically, essentially, they can do yibum or chalitza, because it was rightfully always the first husband's wife, and therefore they have to do yibum or chalitza. However, the brothers of the second man is only rabbinically requiring chalitza, because biblically there was no marriage here. It's only a decree, because maybe people are going to say that they see she was married to the second husband, they're going to say, oh, she was divorced from the first man, and even though he's still alive, but that wasn't because they had thought he had died, and that's because he had divorced her, and the second one married her, as the Gemara says regarding a get later on daf peches on a beis, that it's going to look like that you don't need chalitza from a yavam, because people are going to assume that she was actually halakhically married to the second one, and if they go ahead without the brothers doing chalitza, it's going to have the appearance of not requiring Yibum Chalitza to Yavama, and therefore rabbinically they required Chalitza from the second one, and biblically required Chalitza from the first brother's, from the first husband's brother. Now that was the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now the Mishnah brings a few different Tanoim who argue on certain elements of the first Tana's opinions. B'Yisrael, he argues, he says, that regarding the halach of Ksuba, Ksuba sal nechsi ba'al harishon, now that she does collect, her Ksuba is required for the estate of her first husband's properties. Rabbi Elazar Eimer, he argues also on Harishan Zaka b'mitziyasa u'b'maisyedeh u'b'afaras nadira. He argues regarding that area of halacha. He says that the first husband still merits in her lost objects that she finds, or her work that she makes, or to still be able to nullify her vows. Shimon Eimer, he argues regarding what was said in the Reisha, that loy miyabin, that neither one of the brothers of either husband could go ahead and do yibum or chalitza. He argues and he says that even bi'asa or chalitzasa me'achav shorishin, if the first husband's brother does bia, it is paiteras. It will exempt the co-wife, and that is, he could do yibum. Moreover, he argues, he says, ve'inav lad mimen mamzer, if the first husband goes and takes her back after this incident, the children will not be this rabbinic mamzer that the Tanakham had said. Now, up until now, we were speaking about, as the Gemara will prove, regarding when she remarries based on eight echad, one witness. Now the Mishnah moves in that a different halacha. The imnisis shaloi b'shus, if she got married without permission. Now, what that means is, it means without the permission of Besen. What does that mean? It's talking about that there were two witnesses that came and testified and said that your husband had died. And therefore she gets married on her own because she doesn't need, quote, the permission of Beis Din, because that's halacha. Two witnesses are always believed. So then the halacha is that muteris lachzolai. Then, if it turns out that her husband's really still alive, she is allowed to return to him and stay married to him, because that's considered an oinus. That's considered something that was impossible to have avoided, because two witnesses are like the reality. And therefore, it's like she was coerced into this situation. And therefore, if it turns out that it was wrong, she could go ahead and return to her first husband. Now, the Mishnah points out this contrast of the Risha and the Seifa. Nisus al pi Beis Din. If she gets married through the permission of Beis Din, which we just explained, that means to say when there was only one witness, which is, that's a certain permission that Beis Din allowed because of Igun. So Teitzei u'patur min ha-karban. So she has to leave the husband, as we said before, but she's exempt from a karban. And the reason is, as the halacha tells us, that individual that does an avera based on the hira, the psak of Beis Din, so the person's exempt. What do you mean? I asked Beis Din. Here also there was one aid that came, and Beis Din says I could do it, so therefore you're exempt from a karban. But however, if she doesn't get married based on Beis Din, rather because there were two Edim, then Teitze, which the explanation is that she has to leave the second husband, but as we just explained before, she could go back to the first husband, and V'chayeves B'Karban, she's liable in the Karban, and the reason is because here she's considered a Shoigig. It's not an oinus to be exempt from a Karban because she should have waited, she should have looked into it. Although halachically there's two Edim, and therefore it's considered on some element an oinus to be able to go back to the first husband, but regarding halachas of doing an avera, it's considered a shogig, not an oinus because you made a mistake. Now, and therefore the Mishnah concludes and says, Yafakreich Beis Din, we see how great is the power of Beis Din, shapoitrim that carbon, which exempts her from a carbon because of Beis Din paskin, a certain thing, so then it's Beis Din's fault, not my fault, and therefore you don't have to bring a carbon. Now, however, the Mishnah ends off with a clause and says, if Hayru Beis Din Leinasi, if Beis Din passed in that she could remarry based on the testimony that was said that her husband died, v'halcho v'kilkalo, but instead of getting married to someone else, she has an immoral relationship, chayevus b'karban, then she's actually liable for a karban. And the reason is, shalahi tiru el Leinasi, because although we said that Beis Din takes the fall, so to speak, it's their responsibility when her husband comes back and he's really alive, although they said she could get married, they only permitted her. What did we say you could do to get married? Not to go ahead and have an immoral relationship. And therefore, if she was Makalka and turns out that he actually was alive, she will be liable for a carbon for the Maises Nus she had by being an Eshetish, because the Heter Beis Din was only limited for a permissible situation of getting married, not of being Makalka. Now the Gemara makes the diuk that we had already alluded to in the Mishnah. Midiktani Sefer, from the fact that the Sefer of our Mishnah, which goes and mentions a different case and says, if Nisus Shaloi Bishos, if she gets married without the permission, then Muteris Lachzalai, she's permitted to go back to her first husband who comes and he's actually still alive. What does that mean? Shalai Bishus Beis Din means without the permission of Beis Din, meaning you don't need Beis Din to permit it. Elabe Eidim rather, because it's based on the testimony of two witnesses who are always believed. Apishnaim Eidim Yakum Davar. So Machlal, the inference is that the Risha Bishus Beis Din must be that the Risha was told that it was being done on the permission of Beis Din. Ube Eid Achad, with the testimony of one witness, where then we said that that's different, that she is forbidden to go back to her first husband. But what we see is, obviously we see that when one witness comes and testifies that her husband's dead, that he's believed that he died, and therefore she's permitted to go ahead and marry another man. So the Gemara says, yes, we learn similarly this in the Mishnah, Daf Kuf Chuf Beis. The Mishnah says, Huchzuku liyis masiyin, there has already been an established practice in the Jewish people for a woman to get married, even aid me pi aid, even secondhand testimony, where one person told another person, or ve'isha mipi isha, one woman telling another woman, or even ve'isha mipi evan mipi shefcha, a woman that heard from a slave or a maidservant. Alma yedach mehaven, obviously we see that one witness is believed in the context of the halacha of allowing a woman to remarry. Now, it's not nami, the Gemara says, similarly in the Mishnah Masechtas Krisis. The Mishnah says, eyedachar oimel chal tochela, one witness tells a man, you ate forbidden fats, therefore you're liable for a carbon. And the man says, no, it's not true, I didn't eat. So the Mishnah says, Pater. He's exempt from bringing a carbon. Now, so the Gemara makes the following dig. The reason is because he said that I didn't eat. He's denying. But if he was quiet, then the one witness would be believed, and we wouldn't say that he's bringing chul into the Azara, that it's an inappropriate carbon. We would say that you can go ahead and bring a carbon. We can establish this, that you're liable in this carbon. Obviously, we see that regarding the halachas of Isurim, that a one witness's testimony is believed to go ahead and allow a person to bring a carbon, where if it's not a valid carbon, it's chulin, which is forbidden to bring. So we see that one witness is believed, like we're saying in the context over here, regarding Isser. So the Gemara asks, Midereis Manolim, what is the source from the Torah that we see this concept that Eid Echad is believed regarding Isser? So the Tanya, the Gemara brings up, we learn the Braisa. The Pasuk in Mikra says, Oy hoide elov chatasar, if it becomes known to a person his sin, as the Pasuk there continues in Mikra dalt chavches, ashachata, that he sinned. So, behivi karbon, lisiris izim, al chatasar ashachata, he has to bring a carbon for the sin that he sinned. Now, the Braisa tells us, it means that he figured it out, he realized, but v'lo yishidu'u achem, and not that other people are telling him that he sinned. Now, the Braisa says, yachal av apishayin makishay hepata, you would think that even if he's not denying the person who's telling him that he did a sin, he would be exempt. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Or if it gets known to him, Mikal Mokim, whatever the situation is, even if he's hearing from someone else, as long as he didn't deny it, he will be chayv in the carbon to bring. Now the question is, Heichidami, what exactly is the case over here? Elim and the Asu Trey, if it's someone that two people came and told him, you ate chaylev, we were both watching, you didn't realize, you thought it was kosher fats, these were prohibited fats. And he's not denying them. Why would I need a pasuk to tell us that that's a case of that we would have to bring a carbon? Of course, two witnesses are always believed. One witness. And that the pasuk, the Bryce is teaching us in the pasuk that when he doesn't deny him, when he denies him, so that we said, but when he doesn't deny him, then the one witness is believed. Obviously, we can infer from that brisa, which is learning from the pasuk, and that would be our biblical source, that one witness is believed by issur v'heter, by prohibitory laws, where you could even bring a karban chatas based on that one witness's testimony and even eat that karban. Because if he wouldn't be believed, so how could you eat it? Maybe that was chulin brought to the azara, which makes it forbidden. Now the Gemara asks on this source. How do you know, as this price is bringing from the pasuk, that the reason why the one witness is believed in such a case of oy hoide alav is because he's believed? Maybe the reason why the one witness is believed in such a case is because the defendant, the person that he's telling him that he has to bring, is quiet, as we said, because if he denies him, so then it says that no, v'lo yishidu acherim, that not if other people are telling him. So it's only if he's quiet as the price is bringing. But it's because of his silence that's considered as if he's admitting. A person that knows he did a sin, it doesn't need any witnesses, then of course he can go ahead. It's even oyhoide alav. In other words, if someone goes and tells him and he's quiet, so maybe it's not because that the one witness is believed, rather it's more that because of the person himself. The person himself could make himself required to bring a carbon. It's just that he didn't know. When someone tells him, I'm telling you this is what happened, the guy's quiet and he's thinking he's probably right. So that's why he's going to be chayiv, but not because based solely on the witness, on the testimony of the one witness. As the Gemara says, Teda, actually, I could prove this to you, that's the logic behind this halacha. Because the Tani say, we learned that in the Seif over there, it says, Amru shnaya machalta chaylev. If two people tell this person, you ate forbidden fats, v'oyim aloy achalta, he says, no, I didn't eat. So Pati is exempt from a carbon. Rameir machayev, however, Rameir argues in the Rabban. He says, no, that he is chayiv. And Amr Meir, he says, kavo chayma, what do you mean? If two people, even if the person is protesting and denying, could bring a person to a stringent end, which is they could kill him, if the two people say, you were Machal Shabbos, Skila, that's it, you're done. Even if he says, no, I didn't. Can they not require him to bring a much lesser punishment, a much lesser penalty of just bringing a carbon? So Amalei, they respond to him, they said, yes, but the reason why we say that if the person denies he's exempt from a carbon is because ma'im yirtzoloimer mezerisi, the person has what's called a migui. He has a way out of it because he could have said, yes, you're right, I did it, but I did it deliberately. And therefore, that itself would exempt them from a carbon because the witnesses cannot deny that and say, no, we know you did it b'shagi. How could they say that? Maybe says, I made believe, I didn't realize, but I was really doing it b'mezer, and b'mezer you don't bring a carbon. And therefore, even when he says, I didn't eat, he's believed based on that migui, because since I could have said that, and I would have been believed, so I could say this, that I didn't even eat. Now, but one thing that we see from the opinion of the Rabbanan is the fact that both of them, Remei and Rabbanan, are only arguing in the Seifa. Obviously, in the case of the Reisha, when one witness told him, Achalta, that you ate forbidden fats, which that's where being medayik from it, but if he was silent, then he'd be chayiv, that there everybody agrees to the halacha. They're only arguing in this case. Now, if that's the case, the Gemara makes the following inference. So Reisha, in the Reisha, we continue on top of Peichas Medalf. My time of Kamachayv Rabbanan. Why is it that over there Rabbanan hold that the person would be chayv when he's quiet, when the one witness tells him? By the Sefer, they say that he's potter. Why by the Reisha do they hold that he's chayv when he's silent to the one witness? Now, Elam Mishum de Mehemet, if you're going to say as you wanted to prove from here, that's based solely on the reliability and the belief that we have in this one witness, how can you say that? But Vatrei Ba'almi, when you regularly have two witnesses, the Afak of the Komachislu, where even if the person denies the two witnesses, still in Humehemni, we believe the two witnesses, even though the guy's protesting, no, it's not true, doesn't make a difference. And yet, still Vokopatri, Rabbanan, still over here in the safe, the Rabbanan say that if the person is denying the two witnesses, that he is believed, because obviously we're defining it based on only him. So then, El Alav, Mishum de Ishtik. So obviously, that must be that the reason why, when he's silent, that we believe the one witness can't be based on Nemanis, because if it's based purely on halachas of Nemanis, we always believe Nemanis of two witnesses, even when they're being denied by the person that the claim is being brought against. And if we are believing the person in this case, must be because he gets to define the elements, as we said, because he could say I was amazed, but be that as it may, his claim will override the belief of the witnesses. So therefore must be here when we do believe in the Reisha, the testimony of the Eid Achad, must be not because when he's quiet, so then it's just in the manas of the Eid Achad, must be because the Shtika Kaida Dami. It is still coming based on the person himself, because this that will believe the one witness is because of Shtigayda that he's admitting to him. If you're admitting, so of course you have to go and bring it, because we wouldn't need any witnesses to be Mechayev the person. However, there's no proof to say that, as you wanted to bring a biblical source, that an Eid Echad is named Bisurin, there's no proof from this halacha, because although, yes, the Pasuk Oyhoide Elav is telling us that if it's known to him and he's quiet, then he's chayiv, but that's not based purely on the nemanis of the aid. As we see, if that would be the criteria, then as the Rabbanan said regarding two aidim who are being denied by the person that they bring the claim against, that he is believed, must be that it's not because of the nemanis. It must be here the halacha is for the carbon, we base it on him. So therefore also must be that when he's silent to the Eid Echad, it's not based on the nemanis of the Eid Echad, but rather again on him, because his shtika is kaidah, and that itself is what's being mechayiv him in the carbon.